Welcome everyone to Nobody's Fault But Mine, the podcast for people who want to change their current situation with an emphasis on faith, fun, and pushing yourself in new directions. I'm your host, Eric Lindsay, a serial entrepreneur with a passion for helping others discover what makes them unique and taking those two characteristics to new heights. Today, we chat more about pushing yourself and trying new things. We all need to do this to grow and learn, and don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. Let's dive in. Well, today, you might notice a little bit of difference in my voice. I've got a pretty bad head cold that's been kind of getting me down for the last couple of days, but got a limited amount of time to kind of do this podcast, so I've decided to go ahead and push forward. And how appropriate is that when today's episode is about pushing yourself? Yes, even when you're sick, you can push yourself. Although it does kind of bring up a funny thing. My wife, and most wives out there in the world, I can imagine, can relate to this. And the fact that when my wife gets sick, she gets sick, but things still kind of go on and she still does what she's supposed to do on a day in and day out basis. And other than, you know, maybe just feeling bad and laying down for a nap or something like that, she gets on with her life. Us men, on the other hand, we get the what's called the man flu. And when we get the flu or we get sick, pretty much we shut down and go into a cocoon-like state where we don't want to get out of bed, don't want to do anything. There's a lot of grunting and a lot of coughing and hacking and things like that. And so I am a victim of the man flu. And for the past, day or so, I've been kind of just cocooning myself. But I got to the point where, okay, I just can't have this many hours in a row of non-productivity. So I'm here today, guys. So hopefully you benefit from this and hopefully I don't sound too weird. And if I have to cough, I'll try to mute myself. Pushing yourself, finding yourself kind of in a situation where you've reached some limits, whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it may be, whatever situation that is. And pushing yourself through kind of a dead space or a roadblock or a wall or whatever you want to call it. It happens to all of us, and it happens to all of us more than we realize. I think a lot of things we don't really give ourselves credit for is the fact that we've made it through so many things in our life where we've really had to push ourselves. We've really had to kind of dig deep and say, okay, I'm going to make it, you know, through this next thing, whether that be with, you know, people's assistance in doing so, or you just being able to do it yourself, you know, kind of finding that inner strength. I mean, that's pretty profound once you go through an event like that. And, you know, some of the things that come to mind are obviously, you know, whenever I was young, joining the military was one of those things that was, I ended up not doing that through some wise counsel of my father. But I was in college and I was running out of money and I didn't have any other just ways to support me finishing school. My parents were at a point in their life where they couldn't, you know, help as much as they would like to. And so it was kind of to the point of, I don't know if I can continue to do this. I was already working as many hours a week as I could. A lot of times working night jobs and things like that to be able to kind of pay for stuff. And I didn't have an extravagant lifestyle. In fact, I was still living at home through most of my college career because I just couldn't afford to do anything else. So I was living at home with my mother and my little sister. And so it came down to one day that, well, I'll just join the military. And kind of the famous story goes, I walked into a recruiter's office and said, what's the highest sign-on bonus that you guys are given right now? Because I need money. And he said, well, it was the Marines, and it would be the, something to do with like a flight, not a flight paramedic, but it was like an emergency paramedic. Or the way he described it to me, I wish I had the name of it. The way he described it to me was it was essentially, you know, the guys that combat medic or something, that, you know, guys that go in behind enemy lines and rescue people. And it was paying at that time a $10,000 sign-on bonus because it was the most dangerous thing, hardest to recruit. And I kind of had a medical field, you know, I guess desire. I was kind of skewing towards medical and health and things like that in my interests. So I thought, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to learn how to be basically an EMT or a paramedic, you know, for the military and get to helicopter in and rescue people. And, you know, that sounds like fun. Okay, $10,000, sign me up. So I went through all the testing and I took all the, the ASVAB and some of the other stuff. And I think I was one day away from the next day of having to go and do my physical. And once I was through with my physical, you know, then I would actually sign up and be committed to go to the Marines. And I was going to be dropping out of school early to do that. And so I called my dad and, you know, long story short was, you know, he said, hey, Eric, you know, obviously if you want to continue to do this, that's fine. I'll support you. But look where you're at. You're only a semester or two away from, you know, getting your degree. And if you really want to join the military, you know, why don't you do that as an officer? Why don't you go in, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help you. You do whatever you can to buckle down and just make more money. And we'll get you through the next, you know, I think it was either a semester or maybe a two semesters to go to, in order to get my my degree. And then once you get out of that, you know, go in as an officer, apply for officer candidate school. And you know, obviously it'd be a lot better, you know, outcome for you in the long run since you've already made it this far. And so, you know, I agreed with that and decided not to pursue going to the Marines. Well, one of the things, in a roundabout way, one of the things that I was kind of hoping to get, and I never really got in my life, was joining the military, specifically, in I guess a lot of people's opinion, the hardest one, which is Marines, was kind of a self-test. I just didn't know if I could do something like that. I was never really a big runner and all this other stuff. So I thought, man, this is going to be really hard. And it was just kind of one of those self-test things that I really wanted to push myself and see, could I do this? And to this day, you know, I really look back now and say, you know, my life's been wonderful, don't get me wrong, but I look back and almost regret not doing it from a standpoint of, I think it would have given me a bunch of confidence throughout life. Now, I already have confidence. I don't think anybody's ever accused me of not having confidence, but I have to look back and say, you know, how much more would I be capable of doing had I gone through that? And not because I could have said, hey, I'm a Marine, or not because of the training and all that stuff. I mean, all those things are good things, don't get me wrong. But really, it would have been kind of that ultimate test, that ultimate self just evaluation of being in the mud and the muck, and whether I could have made it or not. I don't know. Maybe I would have washed out. Maybe I couldn't have made it. I don't know that, but I'll never know that at this point in time. So that is one of the regrets I have. You know, at the same point in time, God put me exactly where I needed to be. So I'm fine with that it didn't work out. And my dad gave me very wise counsel when we were going through this. But there are certain things in life that I still kind of push myself on. And one of those is physical activity, and the fact that I'm very lacking in that. I'm kind of a lazy person. And so that's one of the things that I've kind of vowed for this next year that I'm really going to push myself on. That I used to work out all the time. I used to be a, you know, weightlifter and be in really good shape and all that stuff. And really have let myself go over the last 20 years, really. Recently kind of got back into walking, and I'm coming up on my 50th birthday in a few months. And, you know, it's something I need to really start taking seriously if I want to be around, not to mention, you know, just be around, but just being healthy, you know, being around and being capable. I have noticed in the last couple of years, just things aren't working as you know, like they used to, you know, as far as strength and balance and just, you know, just stuff like that, you know, just getting old. And so I'm going to start pushing myself to eat better and to, you know, exercise more because I want to be around a while for my wife and for my daughters. And then secondly, I've got a lot of stuff I still want to do. And so I want to get out there and be able to do it and be able to physically do it. And so I'm going to get myself in better shape. One of the other things I've done, and so I'm going to kind of explain throughout the process of pushing yourself, pushing myself intellectually. A long time ago, I had this idea that I wanted to be an author. I wanted to write a book. I just always felt like, nah, I really just don't have that, you know, I don't know, the credentials to do that. So, but I still had this kind of yearning to be an author and to write something. And so I kind of got to just thinking about things. And for whatever reason, about a year ago, I had a idea pop in my brain about kind of a historical fiction book, and it just kind of adapted and evolved and just went forward over time. And over this last year, I wrote a book, and I'm really proud of myself in that standpoint. That first of all, I took that time to stop and kind of acknowledge a little bit more of my creative side. But secondly, a guy that by all rights and purposes, flunked out of English, you know, very much so throughout my entire school years, elementary or secondary, you know, in college and so forth. I was not a good student. And so it was really, really difficult for me. I know sometimes, you know, people kind of looking at this going, you know, what's so hard about writing? Well, there's a lot of structure. There's a lot of formatting. There's a lot of just kind of things that you need to know about writing. And I had what I would consider two things going against me. First, I was not an English major by any means. In fact, I probably literally just scraped through most of those classes, you know, getting a C, maybe even a D in most cases. Secondly, I'm not a big reader. I'm just not a guy that reads a bunch of books, you know, novels and things like that. I mean, I'll read on the internet. I'll read things if I need to discover how to do things. But I'm not a guy that picks up a book and just reads it for fun. I still think of reading as a chore, it's like, oh man, I just don't want to do this. You know, I just don't want to. And I've noticed later in life that I'm a little bit more open to reading and I'm a little bit more open to researching history and things like that. I mean, I kind of look back now and wish I'd have paid a lot more attention in history class, but it was one of those things. Writing a book was so foreign to me that I didn't feel like I had the talents or the wherewithal to do it. And so I was like, okay, I've got to push myself through this. And so I just started writing and I started writing and I started writing and I started writing and felt really uncomfortable and insecure and just weird about the process. Well, guess what? I've got to the point in time now where I'm going to be having a book coming out in the next few months. And I'm still learning the process. I'm still going through it. I'm still learning kind of how to publish it and do all this stuff right now. But it's going to be coming out hopefully in January, first of the year. And it was just one of those things that I didn't want to look back on my life and say to myself, what are my regrets? And I know writing a book is something trivial and small in the entire scheme of things. But it was one thing that I've just always wanted to do. And I thought to myself, now's the time to do it. So let's get after it. And so I spent the last year writing a book. And I'm really proud of myself from that standpoint. And I think you need things like that. You need just the stuff out there that you just don't think you can do. You need to just get after it and get out there and do it. You know, find the resources, find the people. I've got some consultants that I work with that are helping me through the process. I've got my daughter who's helping me design the cover of the book. And my wife has been so supportive throughout the entire process. I mean, it was just one of those things where, you know, I mean, I wouldn't come to bed until 2-3 o'clock in the morning because I'm just writing a book and editing it and just going through all that stuff. And she's been so, so supportive. And of course, I've got God who has given me my abilities and the wherewithal, the talent, whatever you want to call it, to be able to write. And so now it's probably going to be the worst book in the entire world once it comes out. I don't know that, but I'm going to at least try. And it's just one of those things that in the end, I'm going to be able to look back and say, I'm proud I tried it. You know, again, it doesn't have to be a success. In my mind, and I mean this very honestly, and I hope you can take this and use this if you've been afraid to try something. In my mind, I've already won. You know, I've done it. I wrote a book. I whether it gets published, whether it's received and, you know, anybody likes it, whether I sell 5 copies or 100,000 copies, I don't care. I've wrote a book. I did it. I actually got to the end and wrote the end. And I'm proud of what I put out because it was something so alien to me, so foreign to me, something that was really outside my comfort level. And now I can check it off the list. I've got a few things like that. I've got a few things in life that I've just like, you know, I just want to try that. I just want to do it. Might not be very good at it. In fact, might likely fail at it. But these are things that I want to do. So what are your things? What are the things that you want to do in your life? You know, obviously write to me on Facebook at the Eric Lindsay on Facebook, or you can just look me up, Eric Lindsay. Let me know. Let me know what you're out there, you know, that you've always wanted to do. And then what I'd like you to do is maybe go one step further than that is saying, well, why haven't you done it? You know, obviously me being, you know, semi-retired now, I had time to write a book. There was really no other excuse, you know, at this point in time. I've always wanted to do it. I had an idea that got kind of planted in my brain. Now I have the time to do it. So what's, you can't make an excuse anymore. You've got to go do that. And sometimes you just have to kind of be in that situation where you realize that, okay, there is nothing else holding you back. I've got a computer, I know how to type. I've got the time to do it, and I've got an idea. Go. And in 6 months from now, I am publishing a book. And it's either going to be the worst thing ever, and you can throw it in the fireplace and burn it for warmth, or it's going to be something that actually enriches somebody's life. I don't know. It's just out there, and sometimes you just got to put it out there and see what happens. But whatever happens, I don't care. I did it. I finished it. I got to that last page. I finished my last thought, and I wrote the end. And I'm learning through the process, like how to edit a book, how the formatting is set up, language. I'm learning how the publishing process takes place. I'm learning all this cool new stuff that if I ever want to do this again, the next time is going to be that much easier. And so we talked a lot about that in the previous episodes about sometimes just, you know, getting through your fears is just doing it. And then the next time it's a little bit easier and a little bit easier and a little bit easier. But I'm really curious to hear what your thing is. What is something that you want to do before you die or before you, whatever, leave this earth? What do you want to do? And what's holding you back? Two questions. What do you want to do and what's holding you back? Is it money? Is it time? Is it fear? What is it? You know, and what are some things that you can do to mitigate those right now and just start? Because guys, that is, I'm really, really, really proud of myself. I don't need anybody else to tell me, hey, Eric, good job. I really don't. I'm telling myself that. Never in my wildest imagination would I have been a guy that wrote a book. Seriously, sitting in seventh grade English class and you know, having to, no, this is probably ninth grade, actually, and having to read The Catcher in the Rye and those guys. Ugh, I still don't even know what those books are about. And I don't care because I just didn't care. I didn't want to care, but it was something that I thought I would never be able to do. This guy, there's no way I could write a book. I don't even know how to put a paragraph together, you know, functionally, like seriously, logistically, down to the structure of a paragraph and how lines, you know, come together and when you should do this and when you should indent. And I mean, I kind of know that stuff, but I really didn't. And so I pushed myself. Now I can say, boom, I did it. So I'm going to read you the first chapter. I'm really kind of putting this out there. There's really only like two or three people on the planet that have actually heard this before, one being my wife and two being some consultants that I'm working with. And I'm going to read it to you right now. So here goes. Chapter one. I haven't set myself on a title yet and things like that, so I'm not going to kind of explore that at the moment. But chapter one. As I lay there face down in the alley, dust filling my lungs and my own blood pooling in dirt directly under me, all I could think about was cursing God for making me weak. God wanted to give you a head start in life, Mother would always say, referring to my premature birth, but this never eased my resulting lack of abilities. God may have given me an early start in life, but it came with a debt I was having to pay back the hard way each and every day since. I heard footsteps approaching again. So I sprung up from the earth with wild abandon and did my best to fight off the attacker. I faintly remember hitting something, but what, or better yet, where it was on the boy so intent on giving me a licking, I could not tell you. But it must have shocked him, or at least stung a little as he leaped back and shouted, "Why, you yellow-bellied bootlicker!" At that moment, the voices of children watching and in most cases applauding my pain let out a collective gasp. I understood the reason. If Miss Thompson heard what Willie just shouted at me, everyone involved in this tussle was surely going to be held back after lessons. You see, our teacher did not tolerate cursing a fellow Christian, and only moderately allowed such language in reference to a heathen. I, however, did not mind the momentary respite from the attack, as it gave me some time to catch my breath and look around for a hasty escape. My plan to run for it was just about to commence when I heard a voice rising from behind the onlookers. "Leave him alone, Willie." The crowd looked around in wonder and suspicion. "Who said that?" Willie retorted. Paul, the blacksmith's son and the newest pupil attending Christiansburg, Virginia's schoolhouse, eased through the group and with almost a reluctant tone simply said, enough. Paul, being new in town, afforded a mystery toward his temper, abilities, and fierceness that, thankfully, my classmates did not want to discover. Especially in combination with his size, Willie scowled, huffed, and turned towards the schoolhouse with a quick, "He ain't worth it anyhow." I had never thought Willie to be that smart, but with this retreat, he did gain a small amount of my respect. At least he was attempting to hoe an easier row, as my Uncle Frank would say, because looking at Paul, he appeared to be a hard row to hoe. To be fair to Willie, being small brought along with it the usual attentions of others looking for easy pickings. But what I added to this deficit was a contempt and honoriness that bordered on annoyance. That seemed to be the only way people would notice me, and I had to make them. And today, I had again taken it too far with Willie. Mother tended to minimize my character faults by repeating these phrases often. "Garrett, remember, what God shorted you in stature, he multiplied in spirit." Or, "Now, Garrett, I saw the fire burning in you the day you were born, and it's brighter than the sun. Some people just prefer the shade." The first statement I kind of understood. The second, I wish I could understand how to master this fire, because for some reason it only seemed to burn others and make them want to feed me knuckle sandwiches. Paul, on the other hand, was quiet, reserved, and big. The literal opposite of my attributes. He came to Christiansburg halfway through the school year and up until that day did his best to keep attention away from his direction. Of course, being 10 and almost a foot taller than all the other kids garnered a proportionate share of awareness, but his preference was to fade into the background whenever possible. Maybe I sensed this desire to wane into the shadows, or I simply was being my usual indiscreet self, but I always made it a point to at least say hi to him each school day. Looking back, those attempts to edge out of him a response or my eagerness to be forward had at some point struck a chord with Paul, and he stood up for me that afternoon. I needed him, and I suppose he also needed me. He just didn't really know it yet. As the years ticked by, Paul grew bigger, and I grew bolder. But most importantly, our acquaintance expanded into a friendship, and I rarely ended up watching my blood pool on the ground anymore. Having the largest kid in town as your friend has its privileges. It all was not one-sided, however, and although it would take a lot to pry out of him, Paul would probably say adventure was what he gained from our friendship in return. That's the first chapter, guys, and I can look back now and say I did it. I actually wrote a book. What are you going to do today? What do you want to do? What do you need to do it? And what excuses are keeping you from doing it? Most things in life, I've found, when you break it down, are pretty easy to figure out. You just got to kind of break it down. You got to take the time. I know you can do it. If I can do it, guys, if I can write a book, I know you can do what you're wanting to do. So, have a little faith. Have a little faith above in God and giving you the strength and the ability and the talents to do it. But have a lot of faith in yourself. At the beginning of this year, beginning of this process writing a book, I had an inkling of faith in myself. When I reached the end, again, no matter how good it is to anybody else, it's good enough for me. And now my faith in myself has just grown that much higher. You can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. I know you can. So God bless. Find your thing. Find your way through it. Push yourself. Push yourself harder. And I guarantee you'll come away with just a more profound sense of peace about you, a better sense of accomplishment, whether it's successful or not. At least you did it. And if it's not successful, then you know a little bit more next time what you got to do to change it, to be successful. And success is whatever you deem it to be. In my brain, in my life, just writing it was a success. Seriously, I don't care whether it's ever read by any other soul in the world, but I did it and I feel good about it. I feel that I've succeeded and that's all that matters. And so now I have confidence to go off and do some other things that I wanted to do in life. Well, what's yours? What's your next step? Guys, God bless. Thank you for listening. For nobody's fault but mine, this is Eric Lindsay, and we'll catch you next time. Take care.